Every year there's always a thank you, Henoch. A Christmas commercial that comes out, right? This year for me, I mean, last year was, I don't know if you remember, this has nothing to do with the message, so relax. Remember last year, I think it was an Amazon that we keep getting brainwashed with, but it was a cute commercial of a llama, and it was a neat song. It was kind of an oriented Latino song, and it was really neat. Well, I don't know if you've seen it this year. See, I like commercials, believe it or not. Smart, funny ones, not dumb ones that think have no brain and will buy whatever they say. But have you seen this one for the, again, we're all brainwashed with Apple too. So, but the Apple phone. So it's really neat. I pulled my daughter last night and says, "You got to come see this." And she's like, "Why are you excited about a commercial? I just like funny commercials." But have you seen it? It's the new Apple phone, and the way they're promoting it is a couple is in the woods and the phone drops out. Okay? Yeah, some of you, it drops out. So it's during daylight hours, and these animals, which are puppets, nobody was under duress, they're puppets, they start coming out from the woods and start looking at this phone. And one of them picks it up and starts shooting a video and singing a song of all his friends that's singing. And then they put the phone back, and eventually, because it has Find My Phone, the guy picks it up later on, and there's this video for him to watch. It's a really innocent, cute song. But what a great gimmick for buying a phone and just knowing how easy it is to operate, if a squirrel can operate it, I guess. So, but if you get a chance to see it, it's just funny. It's heartwarming. It's kind of neat knowing that, yeah, the whole world might be falling apart, but at least our animals know how to use a phone. But it's neat. All right. Now I'll get into some message stuff here. In this early on this message, you know a lot here what we're going to talk about, and I do too. But I'm hoping the revelation of what we're talking about begins to drop down into your heart more and connects with your spirit and your soul. But just starting very on a shallow conversation here, we trust in things every day, right? There's the vintage speaker example illustration that you're trusting in something right now. Your chair, right? It's not a new example, but you're trusting in that. And trust in many cases is, let me articulate it. Trusting is an exterior connection to your faith response in something. It's something that we can visibly, it's an action of something. So it's, again, trust is something that's your exterior connection, your exterior extension to what you're believing about something. So you believe that chair is going to hold you, therefore you are sitting in that chair, right? Simple example. But we trust in many other things, right? Daily, you trust in your job, if some of you do that. You trust in some relationships, maybe too much. You may make Jesus of people around you, and Jesus, you know, that's a whole other message. But you trust in your relationships. You trust in your car. Sometimes, well, it's starting this cold weather. You trust in all these things that something's going to, there's a benefit for trusting in some of these things. But I pose this question. Do you really trust how much God cares for you? We say that, and I agree with you, and this is amen. But do we live it? When the sun's out, when there's storms around, when there's no birds singing and everybody's left you, do you still trust that God cares for you? If we go through the Word of God, the answer is we should, because it's all through Genesis to Revelations. I mean, God didn't have to, and again, this is basic nuts and bolts, but God did not have to create, there was no mandate that he had to create humanity, a world, oxygen, funny animals that we just talked about. There was no mandate that he had to do any of that, but he had a desire to do it. A desire that started with the earth and with his mouth. And he spoke. And this is going to be a Sunday school class of Genesis, but very quickly going through it, he spoke and things were created. man and woman. So what he created, he had to care for at some point, and still does. He cares about the earth, as darkened as it can be at times. He cares about you and I. And the proof of that is he put Adam and Eve in a garden, said, I'm going to put my image in you. And that image is simply so I could relate to you. Many religious institutions need to understand that. God wants to relate to you. He put his image inside of you. That's how he could relate. So they're in Eden. And they make, but the other thing he gave them is a free will. And that free will listened to somebody else, the serpent, and got us into the mess we're in. But see, imagine if God said right then and there that you didn't listen to me, we're done. Starting from scratch, or I may not even start at all. No, he cared so much about his creation, you and I, that he said, we're going to get through this somehow. His immediate response, again, we're talking about, I'm exemplifying how much God cares about you and I. In Genesis 3, 14 through 15, can you put that up? We know this scripture well, and it's even used maybe even Wednesday on our Christmas Eve service. Do we have it? We don't. That's okay. I'll read it. This is the Lord God, quick in just a chapter later in a response to the fall of man. He didn't say, I'm done. He said, he's talking to the accuser who created this problem, Satan. He said, then the Lord said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than any of all the animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly. Which means he wasn't doing that before he was inhabiting that serpent. Well, it's another message. Groveling you will in the dust as long as you live. He's not done there. He predicts something, and I will cause hostility between you and the woman. Who do we believe that woman is? Mary. He's projecting his solution to what just happened. And between your offspring and offsprings, he goes further. It's not going to be a weakling that he's talking about coming out of a woman. He's saying, he will strike your head, and he will strike your heel. Quick response after Adam and Eve made a bad decision. That's a little proof that he cares about us still. We go further into the Old Testament. He begins to care more about people in Scripture by giving covenants to Noah, saying he's really frustrated with everybody but Noah on the planet Earth. He says, I'm going to wipe out all humanity, but I want to make a covenant with you, Noah. I do need you to build an ark. And then we're going to flood the earth. But we're going to start again. This desire I have to be one with human beings, I'm not giving up yet. Goes further into Abraham, giving a covenant to Abraham that you're going to look at the stars, Abraham. You're going to be the father of many. Wow. He must desire to Abraham and humanity. He gets to Moses. He says, I'm making a covenant with a people. And I need you to get them out of Egypt. I don't want to leave them there because I care about them. They get exiled into Babylon in Egypt, and we know the scripture very well, and we put it on our refrigerators, and it's great to do that because it's truth in it. But the context is he's reminding the Israel people that I have a plan for you. I'm not going to leave you in Babylon. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 14, do we have that? We know this well. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. That sounds like a caring God to me. We live in a world that a majority of people don't think God cares. That's okay. It's not truth. He gave us Jesus, which we're going to talk more in a minute and celebrate, obviously, in the week to come. He cares. He gave us salvation, a way to get reconciled back to him. And he gave us free will. Those are two big gifts. He cares. Now, not everybody makes good decisions in those free wills. He conquered death, so is that what you're scared of and saying there's no God? He's done everything, but we understand that people don't know God, certainly will think they don't. He doesn't care about them. And they're too busy on Facebook instead of have my dad, can I reference you? Instead of being in the book to learn more about how God cares for them. And you're the witness of that too. If we go around this room, you have testimonies proving how much God cares about you. When you were going down this road and it seemed absolutely hopeless, God turned you around and said, no, my plan is this way. To not harm you. There's no disaster. To give you future and a hope. He cares about us. But that's the thing. We live in a world that, if you watch the news, it doesn't look, especially the last week and a half in our area and Australia and all the way around. To me, that proves evil is growing. And we need to share more and more that God does care. He has a hope for everybody. He has a hope for everybody. We go into the New Testament talking about promises and covenants here. And Paul penned this to the church of Ephesus, which is really our anchored scripture today, is Ephesians 1, 9 through 10. So now he's starting to reveal some things. And this has to do with our Christmas season, but certainly beyond. It said, Paul wrote, God has now revealed to us his mysterious will regarding Christ. You got to remember, it was dormant. It was silence between Malachi and Matthew, the book of Matthew. Like, where is he? Paul's reminding us, God has revealed this mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill his own okay plan. No, good plan. Keep going. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and earth. We had that series about end of age, and this is confirming that too. So at the right time, he's going to bring everything under the authority of Christ. We just sang a song about Jesus' power, authority in our lives, because that's beginning to grow in us, because we have that ability through Christ, through the work of the cross, through us being redeemed, that we have a license to speak the name of Jesus. He's still starting unraveling that plan, but eventually everything, when you leave today, look around. Everything is good. Every people, every principality, every president, every king, every dictator is coming under the authority of Jesus Christ. It bleeds into the other scripture that Paul talks about. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And more in this Christmas season. So, okay, we're talking about God cares. I kind of know that and it's dropping in here. I have evidence of this. It's coming down to the title of this message. God has a plan for your life. But the question is, do you trust it? Do you trust it? Do you trust, like I said earlier, on a sunny day and a cloudy day, when things are going, when you think you heard God to go down this path, but it seems worse than ever, do you still believe God cares? Because if he cares, he's got to have a plan. He's not just an unintentional God. He cares. He has a plan for you. And if he cares and he has a plan, at least in the human world, most plans need a what to be created. An architect. Most plans, if anybody's been in construction or whatever, they're usually designed by an architect. So God, if we can look at him as well, he is the great architect. Because he architected life itself. Not just a few things we're about to look at. Can you put that first video up? I want to look at two buildings Ones we know, both of them we know very well. They're iconic things. But this is the Empire State Building, right? That is a beautiful architect wonder that has been filling the New York City skyline for over 90 years and is still relevant today than when they first built it back in 1930-ish, 31, I believe, or 30. It's a beautiful man-made thing. But that didn't just appear overnight, right? Right? Okay. It took three amazing architects to put that together, to put it on paper, to manage logistics to make that happen. Let's go to the other video. Amazing things. We know this one well. This is a Sydney Opera House in Australia, a beautiful type of artwork that was done. It took an architect as well to build it, to begin to put plans together. They're both beautiful places, but they both had different journeys to get there. You see, the New York Empire State Building, their architects were very focused. And what they originated, they stuck to. And what they stuck to, they were able to produce the Empire State Building within just over a year. In 1930s, and stay on budget. I know most Rhode Island and Massachusetts folks like that's a bigger miracle than Jesus coming down. But it did. It happened. It happened. They had opportunity. It was an ordained thing too, because it employed many people during the Great Depression. So a lot of good things happened for that to be done at the right time in that place. They had opportunities to use new types of technology to build the building. But they said, no, that's not our focus. What we originated in the plan is what we're sticking with in the plan. And they were able to produce it in the amount of time they predicted. The Sydney Opera House has a different journey, how it got there. You had an amateur architect, had everything set, but brought people in that brought other voices in to look at new technology. Then some political influences came in that area. A lot of people were, a lot of Indian people, as they say, a lot of bosses coming in and saying, this is better than what you have. It took almost 10 years to build that. And millions of dollars over budget. But wait, they all both beautiful. What's my point? My point, if I can articulate it well, is God is our architect. If we stick to his origination and his plan, your journey will be a lot easier than doing your own thing. Stick to the plan. God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for the body of Christ as whole around the globe. And it's in motion still. Even when we're in this darkened day at times, it may seem. That plan is coming to fruition. There is a point, though, when you have a plan. There's a point when the architect has all the pieces in place, and he basically, there's a phase called all in. We're all in now. We've got the financing, we've got the manpower and women power, we got everything we need, the license permitting. We're all in. There's no looking back. Well, we were talking about Jesus being an architect. When he was always all in, but you know when he really got all in? Is what we're about to celebrate. When he said, the Son of God, my Son, is going to come into humanity. I'm all in. I'm all in. There's no turning back. I have a desire to be reconciled to my creation. I put the image in them. I want to be with them and relate with them. Some of you have trouble knowing that you were fearfully and wonderfully made. I think that's in Psalms. You are. You are an original design. God crafted and made you the way you are. But this is when the great architect got in and said, we're going to be all in here. Hebrews 11:10. I'll just read it quickly. This is the writer going back to even reflecting on God being a builder, an architect, a person of great plans. Abraham was confident looking forward. Abraham, Old Testament, looking forward to a city with eternal foundations, a design and built by God alone. So even Abraham's relationship with him and the covenant he knew God was building something and he was a small piece of it. Abraham, the father of the Bible, one of the fathers of faith, he was saying, no, but I can see that there's an eternal thing here in this plan. You have David in, writing in Psalms 127. We've heard this before, talking about the Lord building things. The God is an architect. The Song of Ascents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. We begin to take our own plans on and build things our own way. But the Lord needs to build things. The Lord needs to build things. Here's a great architectural design. And then we'll get more into what we're going to talk about with Jesus. Revelations 21:10-14. Do we have that one? Yes, thank you. This is an amazing architect. I mean, just look at what God's going to be doing. So this is John penning this, right? The book of Revelations. This is towards the end of Revelations, end of age things. He says, so he took me into the Spirit to a great high mountain. This is John in his vision. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Keep going. Here's some architect. It's shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper as clear as crystal. Keep going. The city walls. Again, Jerusalem coming down. Heaven and earth merging. The city wall was broad and high. Listen to this architectural feat. With 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, mainly the apostles, were written on the gates. So detail, he's into details. There were 3 gates on each side, each north, each south, and west. Keep going. The wall of the city had 12 foundational stones, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. That's when it was. Keep going. Can you keep going? Did I stop you there? Okay. He goes on. John sees measurements that are of grandeur of feet, like huge. This kingdom that is being built is just amazing, that would blow any architect who's even made those two buildings. This is God making what he wants for his people. This is where you get the scripture, the streets are made with gold, and we've misappropriated that up, that it's up in heaven when we die. But this is what it's talking about. The streets are going to be made with gold. I mean, every fine mineral that you can build, God is using that. He is a detail architect. We know he's detailed because he created you, and you got a mind, and you got a will, and you've got, what's that E word? Emotions. You've got all that. Those are details to your life that are God made. He cares about all this. So let's get back to God is the great architect is basically saying, we're all in now. I want humanity back. And then Jesus came, right? That's what we celebrate Christmas about. Basically a birth to be with us. But don't look at me. We know the story, right? I'll read some of it. But, well, let me go further. Let me get to Scripture. So he's creating a birth. He's fulfilling prophecy. Isaiah 9:6-7. The prophet Isaiah says, for a child is born unto us, a son is given to us. The government will work well with him. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful. Sometimes we need to inherit this. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness. Some of us Christians need to be remember of that. Fairness and justice for the throne of his ancestors, David, for all eternity. This is our King, Jesus. The passionate commitment of the Lords of Heaven's armies will make this happen. That's your end times. But Isaiah is prophesying that there's a child, and believe it or not, he's going to be born. So you can just hear this for the first time. Imagine hearing that. Okay, Son of God, born? Born what? Born what, a baby? Really? This architect is saying how I'm reconciling humanity is through a baby's birth. A baby's birth. It just, you think about it and you're like, for somebody who doesn't know God, it just seems too simple. We're very good at complicating things, right? Humanity, yes, we complicate things all the time. And God's a simple God because he knows we complicate things all the time. You look at Corinthians and it says, I make foolish things for the wise people to get fooled by, right? In Corinthians. So we elevate education, which is great. We need that. But we can be also thinking that the education is making the person an idol, that they're the smartest thing in the world, and we begin to worship that. And it can confound them to say, there's no God. Look, a baby? Come on. That makes no sense. No, it doesn't. Scripturally, you're right. Because he's fooling you, the foolish of the wise, that you're not going to understand that unless the Spirit of God and you take a leap of faith to understand that. God is looking for a people that have an inkling of who God is and whose we are, right? Let's read Luke 1, 28 through 38. So we're on the scene. This is when Mary begins to discover that this great architect is all in for humanity. Do we have that? Yes. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her and said, greetings. Imagine, I mean, she's probably sweeping the floor, or maybe she's working. I don't know, whatever she was doing. And an angel, Gabriel, I don't think he's a small angel, appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman. Okay. The Lord is with you. Well, thank you. Continue. Confused and disturbed, which I would be too, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Continue. Don't be afraid. We know when Gabriel came to a lot of scenes, he said, don't be afraid. Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. Let's camp that. Favor with God. There's a place, and I'm not saying I'm there. There's a place in our following Christ that we surrender our life to Christ, right? We surrender our life to Christ. And in that, there's a commitment to Christ. And then the come see comes follows, and we start following. But there is a point, and please, I pray for our church too, and myself and family. There is a point where God begins to trust you because you've been trusting him. Mary's been favored because at some point he saw Mary's heart. Heart. Not what she's done, because really she's a teenager just thinking about getting married right now. She doesn't have all these accolades from Jerusalem University and all these different things that are going down. She's just a young teenage girl thinking about getting married. And then this happens because the architect's all in. You will conceive, and so the angel Gabriel continues, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Keep going. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. I think by now if I was sweeping, I'd drop my broom. My mouth is opening. Like, you're telling me this? Me? The Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors, David. Whoa, you throw David in the mix, because they can relate to David, King David. That's big. Keep going. And he will reign over Israel. Whoa, that's a big one. His kingdom will never end. Do you realize his kingdom's never going to end? I worry about some temporary things at times. I went and got a ribbon the other day to wrap a gift, and I became stressed out because I couldn't tie the darn ribbon. Now, if you talk to my family, I'm usually a paper bag kind of guy for gift wrapping. But I was getting stressed, and the Lord had to arrest me, and I said, like, this is why are you losing your peace over this temporary issue that's going on? My kingdom's going to reign forever. Keep going. Mary asked the angel, which she was allowed to ask a question. That's good. But how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Call Pastor Mike on Monday if you need more information. Verse 35, the angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Boy, we need more of that. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. Wow. What an encounter that this teenage lady had, young woman. She wasn't looking for a baby now. She was looking for a wedding vow. And this is, and God chose her to be all in for humanity. Crazy. As you know, we'll speed the story up due to time, and we'll hear more on Christmas Eve. You know, so Joseph's like, yeah, right, at first, right? He heard this angel, and then the angel comes to him to confirm things. And then they're called because the emperor wants to do a census in Bethlehem, so around the country. So just fast-forwarding, they're journeying to Bethlehem from where they were. So we can account it might have been a donkey, Mary and Joseph, to all we know about. So it's a travel there. I don't know about you, but I heard God's plan, but there may be times that I don't think I'm experiencing God's plan. They had to walk quite a ways. I mean, Mary was on a donkey, but there was a journey. It was a commitment. Why do I have to leave where I am? Listen to this. Why do I have to leave where I am to go somewhere else to fulfill your promise? Some of you have been called to get out of where you are, to go journey to where He is waiting for you. Make 2026 that. Bless you. But you got to think that the journey they're walking is, I don't know about you, Joseph's like, can I get on the donkey? You know, he's walking probably. And it's like, why are we doing this at times? Can we humanize this? Because they were human. And then they get to the town, and I don't know if I'm, again, I'm thinking, all right, there's got to be a Sheridan ready for us. There has to be. The Son of God is in my belly. No. No room in the inn, have you heard? I want to reassure you, there are many times that you are in God's will. And you may not have found the room you thought you were going to go in, but it's still available. You just need to hear more and be reassured more. And you will find your place where God's calling you to be. Because He cares, He's a great architect, and He has a plan. Follow that. But you got to think Mary and Joseph's like, these are teenagers. No way. But He trusted them. Does He trust you? Does He trust you? Again, we've heard preachers do this too, so let me take the liberty. So I don't know, if I was God in that time, you know, would I have delayed? Again, we're talking about simplicity and God being all in. But would I have delayed Jesus' birth maybe in 2000, the year 2000? I mean, we had social media. We could do hashtag, the Christ is here. You know, and I'm making fun of that. But why? It's a lot easier to get the word out. Sometimes God's plan, you will not understand. But just keep following. Keep following. Whatever you heard last is what you're following forward to. And He keeps following you because He wants you to have that step of faith and following. But I kind of think that. I think I would have done it then, later, you know, in the 2000s. It's easier to let the King of Kings people be announced. But He didn't want that. He didn't even have them birthed in a kingdom or anything. It was in a house, that in a room of animals, basically. Our Savior, our Messiah and our soon coming King. With animals. And we get upset if somebody's sitting in our seat. Savior, Messiah, soon coming King. Birth, not in a hospital. With animals. I will say this. When you are in God's plan, I can testify myself through many mistakes, but I can testify. And scripturally, you'll see it. When you're in God's plan, He does grace us with some validation. You look at Mary, everything they just went through, and the baby's born, and here's this baby, and you're around all animals. It's like, all right, the King of Kings. But you could just hear a knock at the door, and some shepherds showed up. This is our King. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Validation Mary was doing. It says in Luke somewhere, it says, her heart was warmed and she held these memories to some degree. Because she needed validation because she was human too. So when you're following God, God will trust you with some validations. He has to trust you. Because if He can't trust you, He's not going to validate you because you're going to take the validation and say, look what I've done. And then what you build, you have to sustain. It doesn't last too long. This is an unusual Christmas story, but I don't know. We're going here. So the manger, babies, Jesus is born. And then they got to run to Egypt. And you got to think, because now people are after this baby Jesus. So it was it wasn't silent night for the last 3 weeks after he was born. They had to run for their lives to Egypt because the census and the government there wanted to track this so-called Messiah down. So they had to run. But they stuck within God's plan. Imagine if they would have stayed. They continued to walk out his plan. And it's so important. God cares about you, about the person to the left and the right of you. He's a great architect and orchestrator of your life. He's got plans for you. He may not unveil the entire schematics in one sitting because it could overwhelm you. But God's with you. He's all in. His Son came down to save us from our sins. So we could be reconciled back to God. That's all in. He had to watch as his Son was birthed in humbly little manger room with animals. And they go to a cross and die for you and me. Be resurrected. Go back up and see God the Father where he's praying for you right now. Intercessing. Jesus is in the throne room of heaven. God cares. God cares. And it all began with the birth of a baby boy. That silent night when the spirit realm was abuzz. The silent night in Bethlehem. Don't ever underestimate how God will work in your life. When you think it should happen this way, he may just say, no, I got to show you a different way. I'm going to do it this way. Just to show you who did it. So where are you now? Can I ask, do you trust his plan? We can say it here. Is it in here? And is it in our everyday life? That's a challenge. Because everything out there doesn't want you to exemplify his plan. But we just talked about the name of Jesus being more powerful than any principality, any darkness that comes against you. To speak the name of Jesus over things. To shine a light. That's your basis of a plan. Your plan is not to... And I'm saying this in love and reminding myself, not to sit and watch Netflix. I watched Netflix last night. You can watch it, but that's not your life. Your life is the map to the plan is here, from Genesis to Revelations. And the Holy Spirit is your compass to guide you to where he's wanting you to go. Keep both very close to you. He loves you so much. We talked about caring. But where are you in this plan? Are you someone that says, amen, and again, I need encouragement, but amen, I'm in the plan, but I have a little bit my old side plan that goes at the same time. So two plans are going on. It's okay, right? I love you, God. There was a story that's kind of, it's Christmas related, I guess. Yeah. There was a story of King Asar, A-Z-H-A-R, but there's no R at the end, Asa, when you pronounce it. So he was the leader of the tribe of Judah from the house of David, right? And Isaiah is the prophet in that time, like we read him earlier, and he's going out. God says, I need you to go meet this king, because he was a God-fearing king at once, following my plan, but he's mixed his plan in with my plan. Brought influences from other kingdoms in, like Assyria and other things like that. I don't compete, God says. It's my plan or no plan. And he meets with him here. He says, Isaiah's told to say that. He says, Isaiah's saying this to the king. He says, hear now, you, house of David, it's not enough to try to put patience of the Lord, because he didn't want to test the Lord. He says, I'm not going to test the Lord. The patience of my God also. Are you going to test my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a choice. He always gives us a choice in most cases. You may have made one years ago and you forgot about it, but at some point you've made decisions to where you are now. Another message. But he says he's made a choice to go with other things. So he says, fine. I think this was God just saying, fine. Can I tell you what I have plans in the house of David that you're not going to be a part of because of doing this? I'm going to have a Savior. She's going to be born a virgin, conceived and birthed a son. We will call him Emmanuel. But God's saying, because of you mixing your plans up with mine and yours, you're not going to see it, because by the time he's old and knows what's right or wrong, your kingdom won't even exist anymore. So God was ordaining that moment to say, don't mix plans. Please, it's easy to do that. Some of us have gone places and said, God told me to do this, and he might have some way, but maybe you didn't hear it in full color what to do. Follow the favor. That's what Mary got. But don't mix plans. You could be, okay, I trust God's plans. I know he cares for me. I trust him. He's my great architect. I trust him so much. I'm not perfect. Is anybody perfect?
No.
Really? Okay. I trust him so much that I'm in the air of trusting his plans, like Noah when he was hitting the hammer to build a boat. Noah was given a plan to build a boat. His boat, where he lived was not front shore of anything. There's no water around. And he's building a boat. So do I trust God's plans for my life as much as Noah hammering and building a boat that took a long time and lost a few friends along the way? Do I trust his plan like Abraham going up a mountain with Isaac, not to show off my new L.L. Bean tent, but to maybe kill my son? Do I trust the God Almighty's plan for my life and my family's life if they have to walk up a mountain? Do I trust the plan of like Moses, who was a stutterer and had to go in front of Pharaoh, a big king, and God had a plan, and all I want you to do is say these words, let my people go. He trusted God's plan to say that, come out of his comfort zone and do that. What is he asking you to do? Are you there where you trust his plan? Or it may be simply, I don't know God's plan because this is my first time in church. I have no idea. I've heard the Christmas story. It's all sweet. You know, I know there's something behind it. That's what's drawn me in. That's good. Knowing where you are is a good start to anything in life, right? So if you don't even know God or his plan, that's okay. We can look at Mary. What was some of the ingredients of how, because there is an invitation, no matter where you are, to be in his plan, right? But it starts with humility. That I'm not God, and he is. And that I need a Savior, and he's here. The second, it is surrendering and being obedient to what God's plan is in my life. And then he will begin to trust you. So if you don't believe you're in God's plan, cry out to Jesus. He's waiting to hear from you. As humbly as you can, I need you. That's how most of our relationships begin. I need you, Jesus. Come and fill my heart. I surrender. There's some cost to this. Can I warn you? So don't let churches say, hey, you just say a prayer and you're all done. There's a cost to this. It's part of your surrendering. But we've had people do commitments before they've surrendered to anything and don't know why they don't come back at all. You need to surrender. There's a cost to this. Right up front, cost. Terms of the agreement. Surrender your life to a loving Savior, Jesus. And He will give you freedom like you've never known before here in this life and beyond. But sin's what keeps you. You've tried to do things your own way. And that's why God said, I got to be all in. I'm bringing Jesus down to save our souls. And to live in this freedom when chaos is around. But not just live for myself. Because when God and the Holy Spirit continues to fill me more and more and more, and He's being more revealed as a Savior, Messiah, and soon coming King, I share that with others because I can't contain myself. And that's where true joy comes from. Some of you will know what I say. When tragedy strikes, when things happen, and really things hit the fan, and it's not fair, we think, but you're grounded in Christ, and you have joy that's eternal in you, and people don't understand that. But wait, this happened, and you're real, you mourn, you do what we need to do. But I have an eternal joy and hope that is carrying me beyond any moments that happen during this life. He loves you so very much. Why don't we stand? So do you trust the plan? Do you trust the plan? He loves you so very much. No, there is a plan. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you inside this plan. He's paid for this plan with His Son. He loves you so very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so privileged to be in Your presence today amongst Your brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those that may be here or online that don't know this plan, are not involved in this plan, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, touch them. Let Your love draw them in because You love them so very much. A love that's beyond any mother, father, wife, anything like that. It's a greater divine love that we can experience. Holy Spirit, touch them. Lord, if we've been following Christ for a while and we notice maybe we've had our own plans mixed in with Your plans, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, show us that. There's no condemnation, but let us be able to turn the other way and follow You alone. Lord, if I've been following Your plan, I've been that Abraham, Noah, Moses, I feel, then God is trusting you to continue and He will validate you. Be rest assured and rest in Him. Continue the walk. He finds great favor with you. And again, with some who don't know this plan at all, welcome them with open arms that they are loved by You. Certainly during this Christmas season, that love came down to our humanity. And You want to spend eternity with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need prayer, either to pray to get in God's plan, or if you have other things that need to be prayed for, come on down. Come on.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Faith Christian Center this morning. We're so glad you could join us and be here with us this morning. And those of you who haven't been able to come in, well, we miss you. We love you. Dolores and George and anyone else that we've missed, we can't wait to see you again. You're in our prayers. So thank you for joining us this morning. This is my friend, Pastor Ray.
Good morning.
Yeah, amen. We're just happy to be here and celebrate Christmas this morning. And Pastor Chris had some wonderful points this morning, didn't he? About the love of God and how unique we are. And I got thinking about it, you know, what over-the-top love He has for us. He came and
Absolutely.
Died for us to experience His love. Who does that?
It blows you away.
Exactly, right? And once we receive Jesus as our Lord, that's the greatest Christmas gift that we could ever receive.
Amen.
And then he gave us an LTC, like Pastor Chris said, a license to carry. So we're carriers of that love and that grace and his peace and his joy to everyone around us. And boy, there's no love like it. If you've been looking for love in all the wrong places, well, you come to Jesus, you've come to the right place.
Absolutely. Amen. You got that right. You know, I was thinking about one of the points made today regarding the plan of God and the plan that he's got for your life. More intricate, more detailed than the Sydney Opera House or the Empire State Building. Just the detail that God has put into all of our lives.
Right.
And for us, the role that we have is to trust the plan. And in order to do that, you trust the planner. You trust the one who made the plan for you. You know that he's got his best interest in heart towards you. He means the only good and not evil. And when you trust God and trust his plan for your life, it just puts you in a position where he can get to work and on fulfilling that plan and seeing to it that all of the details and all of the things that you could never realize how to connect those dots, but God knows how to connect every one of them and see that thing come to completion, to full fruition in your life. And that's just an amazing thing. Our God is an amazing planner with an amazing plan, and that plan includes you and I and every single one of us.
That's right. Master architect with a master plan.
Yes, indeed he is.
Good points. Good points, I'll tell you. Hey, if you've never received Jesus as Lord, you can do that right now.
Yeah,
the best Christmas gift you could give to yourself, you know, and ask him into your heart and that he fulfill his perfect, unique plan in your life. There's a number on your screen that you can text, and there'll be somebody, they monitor it 24/7, and they can answer any of your questions, talk to you about the Lord, whatever you're wondering about, and so you can have some peace and rest in your minds.
Amen. We also want to give you a personal invitation. This Wednesday, Christmas Eve, we're going to have a special Christmas Eve service here at Faith Christian Center, 95 Sagamore Road, Seekonk, Massachusetts, 5:30 p.m., Christmas Eve service this Wednesday. And then on New Year's Eve, same exact time, 5:30, on New Year's Eve service, something to go ahead and celebrate Jesus and his birth on Christmas, and something to celebrate and anticipate all the things that God's going to do in 2026 on New Year's Eve, December 31st. We cordially invite you to both of those wonderful events.
Come on out.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'll tell you, we're excited. Good things ahead for you. And we believe that as you surrender to the plan of God and follow the plan of God, you won't be disappointed. He'll get you everywhere you need to get to. And the future is bright for you as long as you walk in him and follow Jesus. Amen.
That's right. Amen. So thank you for joining us today. We're happy to have you with us.
Absolutely.
If you can come in, come on in. We just get to love on you. We pray that you have a wonderful rest of your Sunday and a beautiful, blessed week. God bless you.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.